Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, that happened. And if you watched yesterday's event, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But let's go ahead and recap Wildcard Weekend with Saturday first before we get to the day that was Sunday. So on Saturday, we started our wild card weekend off with the Cleveland Browns at the Houston Texans. Started out as a really good game. I mean, it was a back and forth affair where Texans were scoring, Cleveland was scoring, Texans were scoring, Cleveland was scoring. They were just trading touchdowns and field goals back and forth. And then the second half started and the Browns forgot that there was a playoff game. And the Texans really stepped it up. C.J. Stroud had a huge game. He went 16 for 21, 274 yards, and 3 touchdowns. That is a rookie, y'all. And then their defense, too. The Houston Texans defense really stepped up. They really made things very difficult for Joe Flacco. It was arguably his worst game of the season. He obviously didn't play an entire season, but so far he's been doing really well since he came back from just sitting on the couch and He still ended up with 307 yards, a touchdown, and 2 interceptions, but the 2 interceptions were huge. One of them was even a pick six. So it was just a really bad day for the Cleveland Browns, which wasn't really shocking at all just because, you know, the Texans have been playing well. C.J. Stroud has been playing well. Their offense has really got it going, but their defense has also been making some big plays. And then, of course, on the Cleveland Browns side of things, they have had to overcome the injuries all season long. It was bound to catch up with them at some point. So the Texans did end up getting the win, 45-14, and they will be moving on to the divisional round of the playoffs, and the Cleveland Browns will be headed home. But, I mean, nobody really expected the Browns to even make the playoffs with the way all of their injuries turned out, not even just the quarterback situation, but, you know, they lost Nick Chubb earlier in the season, and he's one of the best running backs in the league and provides them a huge source of offense. Then you had, I can't remember the cornerback's name, but they had a cornerback who also was injured, and they just really have been trying to overcome the injuries all season long. And at some point, it's going to catch up with you, and it did this time around. And we'll see what we get from the Texans. Obviously, not sold on them being a Super Bowl team but they really played a very, very good game this weekend against the Browns. Then we had the Miami Dolphins at the Kansas City Chiefs, and this was a straight-up snooze fest. The Dolphins did not show up at all in this one. As a matter of fact, I mean, the Chiefs really kept them in it. The Chiefs did get the win 26-7, and while it sounds like they dominated the game, it was really just the Dolphins did not show up. I mean, the Chiefs actually did what the Chiefs normally do all season, and that is drop passes and also get in the red zone and have to settle for field goals. So they weren't really that impressive, but they still just made the plays that they needed to, and the Dolphins just did not show up at all. But Patrick Mahomes, he made some really big plays as usual. He had 262 yards and a touchdown on the day. Isaiah Pacheco, he had a big day, 89 yards and a touchdown. And then Rashee Rice, the wide receiver, rookie wide receiver of the Kansas City Chiefs, he was the only guy not dropping passes and really making big plays on the offensive side of the ball for the Chiefs. He had 8 receptions, 130 yards, and a touchdown. So the Chiefs are moving on to the next round, and the Dolphins are going home. I kind of looked at them as not really a Super Bowl team at all this season, and that showed in this one. And it had nothing to do with the weather. Everybody was making a big deal about how freaking cold it was, but in my opinion, the Dolphins just didn't show up. And quite frankly, had the game been in Miami, I feel like that we would have got the same result with them, because that's actually what they did the week before against the Bills. They scored a few more points, but they really just didn't show up and really didn't have a good game at all. So the Dolphins are headed home, and the Kansas City Chiefs are moving on to the divisional round of the playoffs. Moving on to Sunday's games. The Green Bay Packers at the Dallas Cowboys. And As a Cowboys fan, this was by far the worst game I have ever watched in my entire 38 years of existence of being a Cowboys fan. The Cowboys got demolished by the Packers, 48-32. Don't let that kind of close score fool you, because at one point in this game, the Packers were up 27-0 at one point. And this was just, it wasn't close, it wasn't good. And first, before I get to how terrible the fucking Cowboys were, shout out to the Green Bay Packers, because they were the seventh seed. They are the first seventh seed, by the way, to move on in the playoffs and get a win. So congratulations to you to doing that against the Cowboys, of course. But I mean, Jordan Love had a great game, 16 for 21, 272 yards and three touchdowns. He looked like the way better quarterback on the field yesterday. Dak had a terrible game yesterday, especially those two terrible ass interceptions that he threw, and really just all around poor passes that he was throwing, especially in the first half. But then Aaron Jones also had an amazing game, as he normally does against the Cowboys. He had 118 yards on the ground and three touchdowns on the ground, as well as a receiving touchdown. So he had a total of four touchdowns yesterday. And then wide receiver Romeo Doubs had his first ever 100-yard receiving yard, 100 yards receiving on his career yesterday. He had 151 yards receiving and a touchdown. So all around, straight-up domination by the Green Bay Packers, and just an absolute atrocious fucking game from the Dallas Cowboys. Like I said, worst fucking game I've ever seen in my life, just because, you know, it was a playoff game. Everything was in our favor. We won the division because the Eagles completely choked it away. Dak Prescott had his greatest regular season of his career. CeeDee Lamb had his greatest career regular season as in his career. And then, you know, the defense was playing really well, especially on the turnover side of things. And absolutely nobody showed up yesterday. Oh, and then also Mike McCarthy was doing really well as the play caller. And then just yesterday was just terrible. It was nobody showed up yesterday. And like I said, Dak Prescott, he got his Tony Romo-itis yesterday going, because those two interceptions were just terrible. One of them was a pick six. And I just honestly, on the first drive, the Green Bay Packers were driving, and the Cowboys had they actually stopped them on the first couple of plays. It looked like we were going to go do a three and out and get the ball back. No, turns out we get a penalty called against us, and the Packers would go on to score 7 points from that. And I actually said to myself, oh, that's how this game is going to go. We are going to completely blow it. And we just did. And it just kept getting worse and kept getting worse. And it never got better at any point in this game. But, you know, I'm not a proponent of just firing people and blowing shit up. Well, after yesterday's debacle, today is when you fucking blow shit up. If I was Jerry Jones, I wouldn't have even let Mike McCarthy's fat fucking ass into the locker room after that loss last night. I would be standing there with Bill Belichick at my side saying, "Get the fuck out of here, you fat fuck." And I would have said that. Get out of here. You are fucking fired. And not happy with Dak Prescott as well. That is not what you do during the playoffs. And like I said, he got Tony Romo-itis. If I'm going to criticize Romo for the shit that he did over his career, got to do it. Same thing with Prescott. Whoop-dee-doo, what you did in the regular season. All that matters is the postseason. And y'all couldn't even get by the 9-8 Packers. You know, they kicked our ass yesterday, but they really just backed their way into the playoffs. And we actually were the number two seed, and that's what we put on the field. Couldn't even get one fucking win. And not only could we not get one fucking win, it wasn't even a competitive game. It was just trash from start to fucking finish. And I watched that whole goddamn game because I am a true ass fan. I will watch the anal rape and take it the entire way through, just because that's just what I do. And I've done it many years. There are many horrible games stuck in my brain, but that's why I know yesterday's game is the worst, not because it's fresh on my mind, but because it's a playoff game. And it reminds me of in 2007, when we kicked ass and we lost to the Giants in the divisional round. Like, I was watching Prescott and I was like, this totally reminds me of Tony Romo throwing those two interceptions right to start that game, and couldn't even get in it. But at least we made it in the game in the end at that one. This one was not a game at all, even though they tried to make it a game, but it was all a bunch of whoop-de-doo. So the Cowboys headed home as usual. Hopefully Mike McCarthy is fired, because that dude deserves to be fired after that That was terrible. That wasn't even a worth it game. And quite frankly, I wouldn't be upset if we moved on from Prescott, even though I don't think we're going to. I just kind of feel like, first of all, where are we getting a new quarterback? It's not like we have a top draft pick. Of course, we do. Who knows? There are a lot of quarterbacks in this year's draft, and we should draft a quarterback regardless anyways. But who are we going to get? Maybe we could trade Prescott for somebody, but who knows what the fuck's going to go on there. But I kind of feel like we're stuck with him. But if anything, you got to get rid of McCarthy's fat ass. And also, fuck Dan Quinn, too, because that defense played like absolute trash yesterday. We haven't been able to get at the quarterback for like a month now. It's not even just a yesterday thing. It's like a month now thing. And the defense got worse as the season rolled on, just like last year, by the way. So I just kind of feel like blow up the entire coaching staff, whether it's Belichick, Harbaugh, or some other motherfucker. We got to start from scratch because that shit was horrible. That was literally the worst game in Cowboys history, probably, at least in my watching experience. But hey, you know what? Now I just get to enjoy the rest of the motherfucking playoffs because I don't have to fucking watch that trash ass team anymore. Thank God I didn't get to see that in the Super Bowl because that would have been much worse. But yesterday's debacle, worst fucking Cowboys game of my life. But congrats to the Packers. And Sunday Night Football was the Los Angeles Rams at the Detroit Lions. And this actually was the best game of the weekend. We finally got a fucking game last night. It was back and forth. Stafford and Goff were just trading barbs all night. And then it turned into a real defensive game in the second half. The Lions were able to hold on to win their first playoff game since 1991. They won 24-23, so it did come down to the end. Matthew Stafford had a great game, 367 yards and two touchdowns, and the dude was playing through injuries. On I believe it was their second drive, he hit his hand into a defender's helmet and completely just blew up his entire hand, and it was completely just bloody as fuck and not in a good spot, like kind of like in between the knuckles. So just, you know, that had to have been bothering him. And it was on his throwing hand, by the way. Dude acted like it didn't matter at all. Then he got blown up on another play where it looked like he hurt his ribs, plus got knocked out a little bit. And then he still was able to put it on, and really the Rams were all the way into it until their final drive, where they just had a holding call that pretty much set them back, and they were not able to overcome it. And Jared Goff had a great game for the Lions last night. At one point, I think he went 13 for 13, ended up going 22 for 27 on the night, 277 yards and a touchdown. Amon-Ra St. Brown had a big game, 110 yards. On the Rams side of things, Puka Nacua continued his amazing rookie season with 181 yards and a touchdown in his playoff debut. So, great game from both the Lions and the Rams, and the Lions are moving on to the divisional round with their first win in their first playoff win since 1991. So, you know, they're pretty happy about that. We'll see who they face off against next week, and if that kind of excitement holds them back, or they continue on to the championship game. Who knows what we're going to get, but they really fought hard and really deserved that win because the Rams also came to play, and it could have gone either way. I mean, the Rams were driving on that last drive, and just like I said, that holding call really set them back because they were actually in field goal range, and then Stafford took a sack, and then the holding call, and they just got right out of field goal range, and the Lions defense really held it down for them. So we'll see what we got with the rest of the playoffs. We actually have two games today on Monday. We were only supposed to have one, but the Buffalo Bills game against the Steelers, you know, it's been snowing like crazy up in Buffalo, so bad that, you know, they probably would have had zero fans at the game, and you know they don't want that at a playoff game especially. So they moved Sunday's game to today. Still going to be very snowy, Pittsburgh at Buffalo, but Buffalo is still favored by 10 points today. You know, I didn't believe in Pittsburgh at all to begin with. Just, I feel like Buffalo, their defense is playing well. Their offense is playing well. They finally found a ground attack, and the Steelers are just lucky to be here. Honestly, their offense is terrible, even though they've had a pretty okay last couple of games. But TJ Watt is not going to be playing, and he is why they are here. Why they were even able to muster up the amount of wins that they did to get here. My score still stands, even though it's supposed to be still a shitty game weather-wise, going to be snowing and windy. I still have the Bills winning 30-17, just because Josh Allen has shown in his career that that kind of weather actually doesn't bother him, and he's still able to just air it out there and get the job done. And like I said, the Steelers just not a very good team at all. So I have Buffalo blowing out the Pittsburgh Steelers today. And then the original Monday Night Football game tonight that we had scheduled is the Philadelphia Eagles at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Eagles are favored by 3 points. They're not going to have A.J. Brown tonight for the Eagles. And so I think I felt like even with him, they were not going to win tonight just because they are not playing like a team. They're playing in complete disarray. And they just kind of feel like they are packed up and ready to go home, especially after what I saw last week against the New York Giants. That was just straight up trash. They just looked absolutely horrible. Not that the Bucs are playing at any better level, but they at least play with heart and they look like they want to win, whereas the Eagles look like they want to go home. And I think that's going to happen tonight. I do have the Bucs winning a low scoring game, 17-10. I just kind of feel like the Buccaneers defense is going to clamp down on this meh Eagles offense. And, the Buccaneers offense is just going to do enough to get the win. And also, I kind of feel like on the offensive side of the ball for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, wide receiver Mike Evans is going to have a field day with this pretty porous Eagles secondary. So I've got the Bucs winning 17-10. Moving on to the NBA and my top 10 NBA power rankings this week, we actually do have one new team to talk about this week, and then actually one team that's taken a tumble, and we do have a new number one just because they are on a tear right now. So new number one this week is the Milwaukee Bucks, overall record of 28-12. They are on a three-game winning streak, 6-4 in their last 10 games, but the reason why they're here is they demolished the Boston Celtics earlier in the week, so they absolutely have to be above Boston at least this week. But not only that, they took out Golden State and Sacramento, and Dame Lillard had arguably his biggest shot of his Milwaukee Bucks career so far. He hit a game-winning three-pointer in last night's game against Sacramento. So Milwaukee, they are playing pretty solid, looking pretty good, and beating some good teams along the way. So I had to put them above the Celtics this week. But the Celtics did not fall far. They are number two on the top 10 NBA power rankings this week. Overall record of 30-9. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. But this past week, not only did they lose to the Bucks, but they also lost in the Indiana Pacers as well. So they have been playing some Jekyll and Hyde basketball as of late. But hey, they're still one of the top teams in the league. They are the only team right now with 30 wins on the season. So. But they did have to fall behind the Bucks just because the Bucks didn't even just beat them. They demolished them. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Denver Nuggets. Overall record of 28-13. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games, and they are just looking like the champs. They are really putting it together now that everybody's healthy. You know, Jokic never lost a step. The dude's been consistent as he usually is. But they're really getting some good play from their bench players. They're getting some good play from all their role players, and the Denver Nuggets just look like the Denver Nuggets. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Oklahoma City Thunder. Overall record of 27-11, and they are 8-2 in their last 10 games and on a four-game winning streak. And that's why they've been bumped up in my top 10. I've been keeping them down at the bottom for the most part, but now they've been starting to get higher and higher every week because they are getting some legit wins. And like I said, they're on a four-game winning streak right now. This young team is just blowing everybody out of the water. Like I continue to say with them, I don't know how long it's going to last just because they are so young. But at the same time, hey, they've been proving it each and every week. And like I said, they keep on moving up each and every week. And they are looking more and more convincing because they are beating some legitimate teams now as well. They aren't just beating the bottom of the barrel teams. They're beating teams like the Celtics and the Sacramento Kings and just getting real legitimate wins on the road and at home. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Minnesota Timberwolves. Overall record of 28-11. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. And Karl Anthony Towns is actually starting to really get hot. He's starting to become the guy that they're looking to. You know, Rudy Gobert, been having a great season. Ant has been having a good season as well. It's just been Karl Anthony Towns. They haven't really had to rely on him, but this last week or so, he has really been getting it going. He's really been true offensive force, but also a force in the paint. And the Timberwolves have been one of the most solid teams in the Western Conference from start to finish so far. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the New Orleans Pelicans. Overall record of 24-16. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And this week, they just smashed the Golden State Warriors and the Dallas Mavericks. They've been getting some good wins. And also, Zion is now starting to become more and more of an offensive force rather than just defense. You know, he's been getting it done in the paint. He's been getting it done with the rebounds. And, you know, not really being the offensive force, but this last week or so, he's really been getting it going, and now he is leading the team in points per game with, I believe he's averaging about 21, 22 points per game, so he's actually getting hotter as the season wears on, and so far, the injury bug hasn't really really been a problem for New Orleans this year, which is a shocker, because that's pretty much been the theme of their season. Or really after their team for many, many years. And now with Zion looking healthy and overall this team playing really well with all the role players, they're actually a really overall good team. They play great offensively, but defense is where I feel like they have a lot of other teams beat. And so we'll see what happens if they're able to stay healthy as the season goes on. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Los Angeles Clippers, overall record of 25-14. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. They are first in three-point field goal percentage this season. They are at 39%, which is no shocker because they do have James Harden on the team, and that's pretty much all he's good at is just throwing up shots. But with the Clippers, they haven't done anything to prove it to me that they are legit yet. Yes, they are playing really well. They're scoring a lot of points, and they do have a lot of talent. But are they going to keep that up for an entire season? And then, of course, with them, it's all about the playoffs. So will they even make the playoffs? Are they going to – and if they do make the playoffs, are they going to be able to do to keep playing like this? I mean, hell, who knows if Kawhi is going to stay healthy, if Harden's going to stay healthy, if Paul George is going to stay healthy. I mean, that's always a question with them, and just always with the Clippers, until they do something, I can't believe in them. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team that has been taking a tumble over the last couple of weeks, that is the Philadelphia 76ers. Overall record of 24-13. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games, but it's really just because Joel Embiid has been injured the last couple of weeks. He did make his debut whenever their last game was, Embiid finally did come back from injury, but their problem has been with depth because they don't have a lot of depth. And that has been a concern with the 76ers even before the season began. We were wondering what was going to happen if Embiid suffers an injury, and he did. And it really has set them back. Still a really solid team, and I expect them to be as good as Embiid is, but once the injury bug hit them, it showed that they don't have a lot of depth, and that might be something they may want to take care of at the trade deadline. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings in the Miami Heat, overall record of 23-16. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. They did win 3 of their 4 games this past week, so they really are on fire. And it's not just Jimmy Butler. It's actually Jimmy Butler's like the third guy. Bam Adebayo has been a double-double machine this season. Tyler Hero, ever since he got back from injury, he has been money. And this team has been looking really solid. They've been scoring a lot of points. They've been playing really well on the defensive side of things. Hawkes Jr. unfortunately suffered an injury, but he's a rookie and he's been having a phenomenal year for them on the defensive side of things. And Miami's just getting a lot of help from guys other than Jimmy Butler. It's usually Jimmy Butler's got to score like 40, 50 points a game and really just take over offensively. And it's just been everybody's playing well. And this Miami Heat team, I kind of feel like, as they normally do, they're going to get hot during the second half of the season and could potentially make yet another deep playoff run. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings this week, have the Indiana Pacers. Overall record of 23-16. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. And this team is, I didn't know if they were for real, because they're another team where I look at kind of like Oklahoma City, where I'm like, are they going to keep this up? Well, so far they've been able to do it, not only through the first half of the season, but the in-season tournament. They went all the way to the championship round in that. And then even after that, they've been able to continue winning and continue beating good teams. And continuing with their identity. Of course, Tyrese Halliburton has been huge for them throughout this entire season, but they're scoring a lot of points. They're first in field goal percentage right now, hitting 51% of their shots, and then they're also lead the league in points per game. Right now, they're averaging 126 points per game, so they're really just scoring everybody out of the building. It's just with them, I didn't know if they were a legit squad, and I still don't know if they're a legit squad, but they've been so consistent, and they've been beating really good teams like the Bucks. I mean, they own the Bucks this season, but it's not just the Bucks who they beat. They've beaten the Celtics, and they've beaten really legitimate teams this year, so it's growing more and more difficult to overlook the Indiana Pacers, and so I've got them rounding at the top 10 this week. So enjoy the rest of the week of sports. And I will talk to you fools on Friday.